Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're in Nashville, Tennessee, the Opryland Hotel for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. Joining me here in Nashville is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. And you mentioned that we are here for Proclaim 18.
Right.
And a lot of stuff going on here. So we are enjoying the opportunity to meet with other folks that are engaged in Christian ministry.
Proclaim 18, is that the theme?
That is the theme.
Proclaim what?
I guess for the gospel.
Yeah. That's, well, I hope so, since we're a Christian broadcasting network. That seems to be a good fit.
That's right.
Huh? We're not proclaiming recipes or gardening tips. Or,
there may be some of that going on in a Christian way.
Right, there's, in a Christian
way. Christian recipes, whatever that is.
Exactly. And sports betting, we're not doing that, right? There's no Christian way to...
No.
To promote gambling, right?
No, that's
okay.
Right.
All right. Hey, joining us back home in our studios in Tupelo, Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Hey, Fred, I was driving in downtown Nashville last night and went by the Predators, where the Predators play.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of the arena.
I don't remember either.
Here in Nashville, but I thought, you know what? I wonder if they're playing tonight, because it was like 7 o'clock, and I said, you know, I'm not a big NHL fan, but I'll call Ed and see if he wants to go with me.
Mm. And I just said yes.
I think they're out of town.
Tonight, I think.
Out of town or here? Here, Predators are here.
Well, here's the other thing.
Yeah.
You're not going to get tickets to Nashville Predator home games.
They're sold out because they're champs, right?
Well, because they were a Stanley Cup finalists and probably will go again this year.
Yeah.
Also, if there was a game on last night and you were on that street next to the arena – yeah. It would be blocked full of thousands of people.
Right, right. So it wasn't. So they weren't playing last night. So, good thing I didn't go because I would have watched nobody play.
But on the other hand, let me just disagree slightly with Fred. Okay. It is true trying to get out of a sports arena with a pro game finishing up. But it would have been a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
To see an NHL game?
Yeah.
I've never seen
an
NHL game.
Yeah.
I've only seen minor league hockey. Is Walker there?
I'm here.
How you doing, Walker?
Good. I was deciding on whether I should stay quiet and act like I'm not here or whether I should speak up.
No, Walker, you're a very valuable part of our Today's Issues team.
I am here. I'm running Today's Issues Facebook and the YouTube channel. So if
they haven't banned us on YouTube, haven't they?
You're running the YouTube channel?
Yes.
That's awesome.
I am running it. Manually twisting it, running the power. No, we're on YouTube and Facebook, and we haven't been banned, at least to this day. So we'll continue live streaming.
So tell us again, if you want to watch the show today, we have a camera here on our show in Nashville. Are we doing dual cameras, Devin, or is this just on Ed and me?
It's dual.
I'm talking about
dual cameras.
Dual cameras. So they see you guys back in Tupelo and us in Nashville at the same time?
That's right. You can go to Today's Issues on Facebook and watch the show, comment on the video feed. Also find all the news stories we talk about on our Facebook page. And as I mentioned earlier, we're on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube, you can watch the show, Today's Issues, live on YouTube.
Okay. All right, Fred, what's leading the news this morning?
Well, White House Communications Director number 4, Hope Hicks, stepped down yesterday. That's making a lot of headlines.
Trivia question, Fred. Who was number 2?
I can't remember. There have been so many. But I'll tell you what, this one is getting quite a bit of attention. Hope Hicks, by all accounts, an incredibly competent and incredibly valuable member of the Trump election campaign. And since the president's come into office, she's played a pivotal role and was indeed advanced to White House Communications Director. But yesterday, she resigned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that came a day after she had appeared before the House Intelligence Committee to answer questions. They're investigating the whole Russian collusion thing, the alleged Russian collusion thing. And during her testimony, and that was a closed session, but word got out, she said that admitted to, on occasion, telling what she called white lies. Now, that became the headline coming out of that hearing yesterday.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, she steps down. Now, Kellyanne Conway, who is a member of the Trump communications team and an advisor to him, she was asked yesterday, okay, was she fired, forced to resign because of what she said about telling white lies? Here's what Kellyanne Conway had to say on Fox and Friends this morning.
To be effective at that job, and she's been enormously effective at that job, you have to really understand the underlying policies here. She shepherded a lot of resources and surrogates, and indeed the president's voice himself, when it came to passing major initiatives like tax reform, working on infrastructure now, holding forth at some of these roundtables yesterday on school safety. Yet last week's listening session with those affected by school shootings was Hope's original idea. And that's one example of many I can give you on how she very quietly but very assiduously has worked behind the scenes to make a real impact for the president, the presidency, and really for her country.
So basically what Conway was saying is that she's been a very busy woman, Hope Hicks, and she needed a break. Now, not often I quote CNN, but CNN and The Hill have a story, The Hill's actually quoting CNN, saying they have information for what happened inside the intelligence hearing the other day. When Hope Hicks was asked that question, has she ever lied for the president, that she said, well, told some white lies. But what wasn't reported, apparently, is that, for an example, she said, she was asked for an example, what's a white lie? She said, sometimes when the president gets a phone call or a request from somebody for an interview, she will say, the president's not available. He's sitting there, but he doesn't want to talk to him. But she says, he's not available. That's the example she gave of a white lie. Now, the other part of this story is that the president was livid with her talking about telling white lies, and he asked her to step aside. So, Kellyanne Conway would not admit to a firing this morning, but it's, you know, when you have a key person like that admitting to telling white lies in a White House that has been known to have some controversy over the last 14 months, maybe she became a liability, at least for the moment, and she was told she had to go.
I'm trying to think back. You said this is she's the fourth communication. Now, you had that, what was the guy's name? Scaramucci. Yeah. Is he kin to you, Ed?
Because he's Italian?
Yeah, I just wonder if you know him or anything like that.
We have a big meeting once a year. Every Italian in the country shows up.
He was a weaker, wasn't he?
I think it was about a week, seven days, something crazy.
He came in a ball of fire and went out a blaze of glory. Yeah, all in 1 week there. But who else was there?
I'm looking at a list of all the communication directors since 1969. It looks like as far as President Trump.
I'm sorry.
Good. Excuse Go me. Ahead. Get started. I'm going to get a sandwich.
Mark, we only got an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking up a list of all the communications directors that under President Trump, if I can finish my sentence, under President Trump, Mike Dubke, Sean Spicer began January 20th of 2017. Sean Spicer, then Mike Dubke, not heard of him, but he took Sean Spicer's place. Then Anthony Scaramucci for 10 days.
And good friend of mine.
Hope Hicks was the last one. So that's four total since President
Trump. And part of the confusion here is you're talking about White House communications director. That's not the same thing as the press secretary, right?
No.
No, yeah, that's different.
So Sean Spicer was also the press secretary. So you get those kind of things confused.
I think the most stable member of that team is Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah.
She has been a rock, and she's done a great job now for a year now, something like this. She took over for Sean Spicer.
Why don't you check, Walker? I'd like to know all the press secretaries.
Let me start back in the
50s. 1967.
Yeah. Poor Walker, man. You get brutalized on the show.
But you know what? I think probably – I don't know. You'd have to look. There has been a lot of instability within this White House since they took over in terms of personnel. But at the same time, there's been, you know, the relentless attacks on President Trump, that's part of it. I think is that these folks, after a while, you know, they get tired of being beat up every day, all day, and so I would think that would be part of it, part of the changeover. But he's had John Kelly now there for what, 6-8 months or maybe a year as chief of staff, and you got egos involved, as you do. Republicans have egos, Democrats have egos, people who work
all for God's children have egos.
Yeah, President Trump, everybody has egos they're trying to manage and take care of, so that's a part of it as well. But anyway, what's the next story?
Well,
we wish Hope Hicks well as she goes on to
she's just 29
future endeavors.
So you're 29 and you've been in the White House for this length of time.
Yeah,
you can write your ticket from here on out.
Exactly.
Very
go ahead, Fred.
Capable. Yeah. Well, speaking about the unusual way of President Donald Trump, yesterday he held the second in a session to discuss school shootings, how to secure our schools, what to do about gun laws, et cetera, et cetera. As I say, this is the second one since the shooting in at the Florida high school. And no other president that I'm aware of has ever done this, because this was all played live on network television yesterday. Fox News at least covered the whole thing and went for at least an hour yesterday. And he goes around the table. He's got Democrats and Republicans in there, and everybody's allowed to have their say about, you know, what's needed. Do we need more gun control laws? All of that sort of thing. And a couple of the issues they seem to be coalescing around is we have to do something about people with mental health problems being able to get guns. There seemed to be general agreement around that table, Democrats and Republicans, and that has to go in to modifying on gun sales. Number two is something to do with securing schools. Now that comes.
Fred, excuse me for interrupting you just a minute. Sure. Let's take these in parts here.
Okay.
You mentioned the first part of this was what, keeping mentally ill people from getting guns?
Correct.
Was there any discussion of how this practically works?
Well,
I mean, does somebody walk in to buy a gun the shop owner says, you know, can I see your certificate proving that you're mentally well?
Yeah. Well,
is that how does that work exactly?
That did not come out in the discussion yesterday. I have to assume at some point that a person's health records, I mean, that's how you're going to know, a person's health records somehow are integrated in with when somebody does a background check before you buy a gun, that somehow a person's mental health records will be made part of that database.
Okay. All right. I'm
now, you know, my big problem with that. Now here's the thing, that of course that your health records would have to be a part of the federal database, like you said, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's thinking of this Nicholas Cruz guy when the discussion's going on.
Yes,
but that's not how I see it playing out. Mm. How it's going to play out is eventually. I think what Democrats want to say is, if you're taking antidepressants, your doctor has prescribed it. That means you suffer from depression.
Yeah.
And if you suffer from depression, you're clinically ill.
Mm-hmm.
You're mentally ill. And so you're not going to be able to buy a gun. And if you had PTSD as a member of the military, you come back, even though you may be cured, so to speak, or you may be handling it, you're mentally ill. I see Democrats wanting to take this Nicholas Cruz example, a guy who is young man who is clearly disturbed, should not have been able to legally buy guns if he had been diagnosed with something. I think they want to expand that so that fewer and fewer people are considered mentally capable of buying a gun. That's why I think there's agreement on that between Republicans and Democrats.
This ain't going to work. This is my opinion.
Yep.
I'm not speaking for Ed, Fred, or Walker here. Of course, we don't let Walker talk much. So.
Even though he knows more about guns than
but,
me.
Walker, you can comment on my personal opinion. This is not thus saith the Lord, or you guys may not even agree with this. I don't think this is going to work. This is all platitudes. This is all feel-good, public talk. Yeah. I mean, who's going to stand up and say, excuse me, I disagree. I think mentally ill people should be able to buy guns. Put me down for that one. I'm going to vote against this. Nobody's going to say that. You're not going to be able – the scenario you just described, Ed, there are probably millions of people who take antidepressants, I don't know, that own guns now. They got the guns before they got the need for antidepressants. So
you going to go confiscate them?
You're going to go confiscate them? And how are you going to have a gun owner, a gun shop owner, like I say, require, I know they require the background checks, but you're going to require also as you have to be certified as mentally ill.
Right.
You don't just have remarks on there from Aunt Jo who says, hey, at Thanksgiving, he was acting wacky, man. Yeah. You should have seen him after the football game. Yeah. He was nuts. I don't think he should own a gun. He's got an anger problem.
Yeah.
Aunt Jo. This is not going to work. Well, so go ahead, Walker.
But to prove that, though, we already have – it is already federal law that those – this is a quote from the federal statute. Those educated – this is the beginning of the quote. Those educated as mental defectives or incompetents or those committed to any mental institution are not allowed to possess, own, or be in control of a firearm.
Okay.
That's federal law as it stands today. But the problem is enforcing that. I don't think the people talking about this are okay with that federal law. They want to take it farther and just be able to unilaterally label people as incompetent so that they can take your firearms away.
Yeah, and President Trump better be careful right here.
Yeah.
He's on the verge of falling into a trap on this. And the longer he keeps talking about it, the more he's going to give in, I'm afraid, on these kinds of things. And hopefully I'm wrong about that. He's been a strong, staunch supporter of the Second Amendment and has defended the National Rifle Association. But if you keep on having these meetings and hearings and listening sessions, after a while, you know, it's kind of like you get beat down. You say, okay, yeah, we'll do A, B, C, and D.
Yeah.
And anyway, there's a chance that could happen.
Yeah.
What was the other part besides keeping guns out of the hands of the mentally ill?
Well, the other measure that seems to be gaining a lot of steam bilaterally around that table, and I think the president is leaning this way, is raising the age at which someone can purchase a weapon to 21. Now, interesting, to that point, Walmart announced yesterday they were changing their policy. And I'm reading from Walmart's press release here. They say, going forward, we are raising the age restriction for purchase of firearms and ammunition to 21 years of age. So that they're moving on that. So what has happened in Florida has served as some kind of catalyst, I think, for a lot of these things. So we had, I think it was Hick's Sporting Goods yesterday, was making a similar announcement.
Dick's,
yeah. Pardon me. And
no,
now,
Dick's, not Vicks or Hick's, Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yes. And now Walmart is doing the same thing. But the around that table yesterday, which I say was live televised for over an hour, there seemed to be a growing consensus that this is also one of the things that could help curtail the kinds of things that have been happening with regards to school shootings. But I tell you what, that is something that is being fought by advocates of gun ownership across the country.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker. Walker and Fred are back in studios in Tupelo. Ed's here with me. We're live video streaming from Nashville. If you want to check us out on Facebook Live, Today's Issues, Facebook Live, or YouTube, type in Today's Issues live stream. Walker, what about this raising the age from 18 to 20? Now, you can be drafted when you're 18, right?
Right. You can be drafted in the military at age 18. Actually a few Republicans who objected directly to President Trump's recommendation to raise the age to purchase a rifle from 18 to 21. I believe a Pennsylvania Republican objected to it.
Pat Toomey, right,
yeah.
Senator?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think that will pass. I think Paul Ryan has already said that's not a good idea. He said that's unnecessary. That's a sideshow. Not all mass shooters are under 18 or 18. Many of them are over 21. Actually, the guy in Las Vegas, 65. Are we going to raise it to 66?
Nicholas Cruz, alleged shooter in Florida, his problem wasn't his age. That's
right.
When you make a law like this and you raise the legal age, what you're saying is the problem with Nicholas Cruz was his age. that he was 19 and he bought this rifle when he was 18. But that wasn't his problem.
Right.
And you're not going to stop people like that, because if that's not his problem, raising the age isn't going to stop them.
President Trump, go ahead. Yeah, President Trump said something that was very alarming to me yesterday. I watched that entire meeting in one of the executive rooms in the White House. And it was I thought it was good that it was publicly televised live, so you could see honestly what every representative says. But President Trump made this comment, and this is a quote. He said, quote, "Take the guns first," talking about mentally ill people or people who are threatening others. "Take the guns first, go through due process second."
That
sounds like if President Obama said that, the NRA and everybody would be up in arms. That was. Where does he get this stuff from? That was very, very
irresponsible, to say the least.
Well, and he was actually not criticizing, but disagreeing with Vice President Mike Pence.
Yeah.
Mike Pence is the one who said, allow due process so no one's rights are trampled. And then President Trump said, or Mike, talking to his vice president, take the firearms first and then go to court.
Right.
So, I mean, basically yeah. denied due process.
That sounds like communist China.
Yeah,
so, I don't know
whether President Trump was being foxy. And he was nodding his head and giving virtual high fives to Dianne Feinstein and all the lefties in the room who were talking about weapons of war, you know, the same talking points. They're wanting to take up everybody's guns, and Trump's over there nodding his head but this is a great idea.
You know what President Trump needs to do? No more meetings about guns.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about this anymore. The Second Amendment stands, and the states can figure it out, their laws, and move on to the next issue. I'm telling
you,
he's fallen into a trap because a lot of these lefty ideas you're talking about, Walker, they play well with the public when the public's at an emotional a disadvantage, if you will, after something happens like what happened in Florida.
Yeah.
It's kind of like taking advantage of people when they're depressed, when they're down and they're not thinking clearly. That's my opinion. And these two proposals, again, I don't mean to be a naysayer, but keeping firearms away from mentally ill people is an unworkable idea, I think.
What you're saying is, because how do you determine, is it just someone's taking antidepressants?
Yes.
How do you determine who's mentally ill?
Yeah. But it sounds great.
Yeah.
It sounds great in public. I'm for keeping the weapons away from people who are mentally ill.
Right.
Who's with me?
Yeah.
Who's against me? You know, that's just. And then the second thing is raising the age of the purchase of rifles. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
From age 18 to 21. Okay,
right.
So you can be drafted and have to go to Paris Island and learn how to kill people with guns, but when you leave Paris Island and go home, you can't purchase a hunting rifle.
Right. Yeah.
And furthermore, again, I don't think any of these things. It wouldn't have prevented this young man.
Right.
From Nicholas. You have to ask yourself. You have to look at the situations of mass murder and then ask yourself, could any new law that's enacted could have prevented what we're disgusted about or what we see happen and we're reacting to?
Right.
So, all right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. We got to take a break right here. Ed, you want to thank our the folks who are making it possible for us to be here?
Yeah, we'd like to thank our friends at Operation Christmas Child for their support. That helps make this broadcast possible, and it has made our attendance here at Proclaim 18, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, has made it possible. So we want to thank those folks.
All right. Hey, can we take the camera, Devin? And can somebody take the camera and when we get back and show folks our loft here? Would that be a yes? You're hesitantly shaking your head yes. We can do that? Or are you just telling that because I'm your boss? And you feel like you need to say yes at this point. Okay. We'll be back momentarily with more of Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us. You can use this information right here.
Tim Wildman discusses life's most important issues.
So you could have a sea turtle alive out there right now that was here during the Civil War.
It's like getting a university degree. Kind of.
Tell the world.
Here's the question. How wide is the wingspan of the world's largest roach species?
Listen to the Trivia Friday edition of Today's Issues. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We still have seats available for our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, that's one tour. And then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, that is a separate tour. Now, we put them back-to-back so you can do both. If you're flying in from Texas or Montana or California or wherever you may be coming from, so that you can do those tours back-to-back with us if that's something you so choose to do. Now, Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be with us all along the way as our historian. Stephen will add context, he'll answer questions, talk about the people, the places, the events that make up our early American history. So for more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com for the September tour information.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Just because you happen to be the mayor does not mean you get to shoot the squirrels. That's what the sheriff in Merced County, California says. Mayor Jim Price was at the local airfield the other day shooting at squirrels. Mr. Price is the mayor of Atwood, a small town in Northern California. He also runs a fuel business on the side at the airport. Been having a problem with squirrels running onto the flight path. So he hauled out his gun, decided to knock off a few of the furry varmints. But it seems he came closer to shooting bystanders than squirrels. One guy was resting in his car reading a book when a bullet whizzed by. Turns out the mayor does not have a permit to shoot any sort of furry critter, nor does he have a permit to fire a gun on a flight path. Long story short, the sheriff confiscated the mayor's gun, and the mayor was slapped with a citation. Also had to give up his concealed carry permit. No word on the renegade squirrels. Nuts. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Today's Issues, the name of this show here on American Family Radio. Well, we're in Nashville, Tennessee at the Opryland Hotel, as we have been this week for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. If you want to know what that is, all Christian radio television, about all Christian radio and television stations and management broadcasters from here and around the world, they have an international arm too, are here convening as they do annually to, encourage one another, find out new technology, meet and greet, network, and those kinds of things that you typically do at professional conventions. But the goal is proclaim the gospel. That's what the theme is. All right, so we have the camera set up in our hotel here, and you can watch it Facebook Live, or you can go to YouTube, Today's Issues live stream. And I've asked Devin, who's our producer, to take the camera and pan out from our perch here in the Opryland Hotel, and you can see what we see here. It's just a fabulous hotel, an architectural work of
marvel.
Art. Marvel.
Oh.
On our marvel. You got big, huge restaurants and buildings inside the atrium, or atriums, right?
And they are building a water park that is supposed to be, I think, ready for...
Do it one more
December.
Time, Devin. I don't think people got enough of that
I'm
right there.
I'm not seeing it on YouTube Live.
You're not? Well, Devin's holding the camera up, panning around the atrium.
It may be a little bit delayed, Ed.
Okay.
Maybe
a little. Okay, now I see it.
Now you see it now? Okay.
But they're going to have an indoor and outdoor water park.
Yeah.
They got tons of restaurants and shops and
And they have an indoor water park.
It'll be indoor and outdoor. So
water slides.
Yep. So that during the winter months, you can
like 55-year-olds to get on their water slide.
I hope not.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Devin. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Ed is with me here in Nashville. And Walker and Fred are back in Tupelo. We have a guest now with us here in Nashville. Mattis. Brad is president of Life Issues, and he is joining us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did I get it right? Life Issues?
Life Issues Institute, absolutely.
Where are you guys and what do you do?
We're based out of Cincinnati, Ohio, our international headquarters.
Right.
And we provide pro-life education for the movement and for the public at large.
Dr. John Wilkie?
Jack Wilkie and I co-founded the Institute in 91, and we worked side by side for 24 years until his death.
Well, he was, I guess a lot of people are familiar with his voice from his radio commentaries that he
did.
We aired him on American Family Radio.
And, and he started that program out back in about 84.
Yeah.
Continued until 03 when I took over the program, and we changed the format a little bit and its delivery system to be more in line with the times, and we're very, very happy that you are good partners of ours in providing that information.
Now, you're merging with the Susan B. Anthony list, right?
We have, yes. That's very recent. Life Issues Institute. As I looked at our programming that we have, the programs, the outreach we do, I just felt God tapping me on my shoulder saying, you know, I want my ministry to be bigger. And so I began to think about Marjorie and our relationship, working relationship in D.C., and frankly, that was the only group that came to my mind. And when I contacted her, she was very excited about the concept. And we worked through that last year, and now we are the pro-life grassroots aspect of Susan B. Anthony. Now they are their top drawer in electing candidates and you know, promoting legislation. Congress comes to them to ask them to write legislation.
Let's talk about the pro-life cause in general. How do you see here we are, how many years removed from Roe versus Wade, 1973? We've made a lot of Are abortions up, down, or is the mood changing in the country? What do you see there?
Well, abortions peaked in about 92 at about 1.6 million. They are down to just under a million now. It's been very slow, but very steady progress. And I think that's, of course, one death is too many from abortion, as you would agree, I'm sure. So we've got a lot of work to do ahead of us. But the reality is technology and information is on our side. Ultrasound has done a huge justice for the unborn children by being a window to the womb. And as the millennials come aboard and become active, they are more and more pro-life than their parents. The momentum is clearly with the pro-lifers. Public sentiment is turning against the brutality of abortion in the womb, and more people are saying, we need to stand for life. We can love them both.
Well, you know, and Brad, it's so clear that God has been in giving help to pro-life causes and the pro-life movement in this, because early on, Madison Avenue, maybe not so much Madison Avenue, but certainly Hollywood, was absolutely in favor of abortion, promoting it. I can remember all the way back to the show Maude and, other, movies and all these kinds of things. One of the things that you would have thought back then is, how are we going to win this with just Christians stacked against the power of Hollywood and colleges and universities? But like you said, technology has come around now and is kind of driving back and dispelling that. But what would you say to people who maybe have what's called abortion fatigue? Okay, where you know you hear professors, you can write on any subject, I don't want to see any more papers about abortion, and Christians even maybe getting tired of talking about this, because this is a long drawn out fight, like slavery, like against the movement against slavery. How do you keep Christians going when they're exhausted, maybe talking about it for decades?
Well, that's a very good point, and slavery is a very good analogy, and I've studied that period in history, and we have to look back on that and see how long it took for the abolitionists to restore sanity in America, where blacks enjoyed the same rights as whites do. And we just have to stay in the fight. If we don't stand up for the unborn, who will? What if the abolitionists had given up when the going got tough, or it was a long, drawn-out battle? They stuck with it. Imagine what America would look like if they had given up.
Right.
So imagine what America will look like if we give up. The Lord compels us to do all we can, to fight the fight as strong as we can and as efficiently as we can, and leave that time frame up to Him.
Right.
But I'll tell you, when He calls us into accountability, we need to stand there and say, we were faithful to the call, we ran the race, and did our best according to Your will.
Let me ask you this. Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, which Ed and I reside in, and Walker and Fred, our home base, is set to pass a 15-week ban. Have you heard about this?
Yeah. Ed?
And the federal Congress, the House at least, passed a 20-week
20-week, yeah.
20-week ban. And so, but it failed in the Senate, as everything does, because of the filibuster. Everything good dies there because of the 60 votes you have to pass anything. But a state legislature, other states may follow suit. 15 weeks, that would then go, I guess, to the federal court on appeal by some group. But that would be a – that would be the closer we can move – the standard back to conception.
Absolutely. And the heartbeat bill is one of those good examples.
In Ohio,
That we passed in Ohio, and supposedly pro-life Governor John Kasich vetoed that bill.
That would have said that when the heartbeat starts, the life should be protected, true?
Yes, when a heartbeat can be detected in the doctor's office, that child is protected.
That did pass?
It passed. And the governor vetoed.
What did he veto that for?
Because our major pro-life organization there encouraged him to veto Ohio
because
Right
why?
To Life. They felt it was not constitutional and that we would be damaged in fighting it to the Supreme Court. We couldn't disagree more with that philosophy.
Right.
And as we see Gorsuch come up on the Supreme Court, the strong indications that Kennedy will retire, we have opportunities for the court to eventually look at this legislation and overturn Roe versus Wade.
Yeah. Well, listen, Brad, thank you so much, brother, for your work there. Tell folks how they can go and visit your website and what's there and everything
Sure.
like that.
Sure. We've got over 5,000 pages of educational information from cloning to euthanasia at lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org.
Thank you so much, brother.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
For your fight. Every day you get up fighting for the unborn. And, you know, God says that human life is precious. And we as Christians should be defending that concept, that value, that virtue everywhere, certainly for the unborn. Thank you.
Thank you. And as long as there's breath in this body, I'll continue to do that.
Okay. God bless you. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Check them out at lifeissues.org. Is that what you said? Lifeissues.org.
I just wanted to make mention of the fact that it kind of something similar to that. This is kind of on the preciousness of human life. AFA has launched an initiative, and we're kind of calling it the #number6 initiative. This was in the wake of the shooting in Florida. We are asking every school in the country to put this statement on their school marquee or school sign for 1 week. Here's the statement: you shall not murder. That is the sixth commandment of the Ten Commandments. That's why we're calling it #number6. So that's kind of why we're, you know, while the nation's discussing gun control laws like we discussed at the top of the show, we think our young people should also be reminded that innocent human life is precious. So, folks, if you want to get in on this, we're hoping to make this go viral. It's starting to get some support in the Christian community. Please go to AFA.net, and the banner you'll find immediately on our homepage is that #number6, bright blue letters on a black background. Please get involved. This is it's kind of an adjunct issue to the one we were just discussing with Brad Mattis of lifeissues.org, but we want people to stand for life, and we want our young people to understand that that this commandment is critical, and it's something we want our kids to understand.
Why do you think God gave us that commandment?
Well, because the impulse of human beings is to take things too far. This is the impulse. That's why in the Old Testament law, it was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So you poke me in the eye, I get to poke you in the eye. The law was meant to restrain the impulse to, or you poke me in the eye, I'm gonna break your jaw. And you break my jaw, I'm going to break your neck. That's the impulse of escalating violence. God is always, since human life is precious to him, since he created it in his image, has always been to try to dampen that impulse. And the commandments were under the law of Moses, a way to do that for his people, Israel.
Well, if they're Old Testament, they still apply to do those Ten Commandments still apply today?
That's a great question. The Christians would say yes. Here's the simple reasoning behind that. The Old Testament law had three components. It had a civil law, which was how does the nation of Israel live as a civic entity, as a nation? So there are laws regarding what to do if you kill my oxen. There were ceremonial laws, which had to do with the law's religious requirements, the feasts and the sacrifices, so on and so forth. Those first two have ended with the coming of Christ. But there was a third component, and that is the moral law. And the moral law has always existed. Even before the law of Moses, it was wrong to kill people in God's sight. So the moral law are those things that tell us how we should live, how we should treat other people. And so those laws of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament, and so they are still binding.
One way I answer that when people say, because a lot of times non-Christians, most of the time they're trying to nitpick at
right.
you, or to say your belief system is inconsistent because you say this and this is Old Testament, and so God says don't eat shellfish, and
yeah.
and you eat shrimp pasta tonight,
yeah.
and then you say you believe in the Ten Commandments, and how do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
You see where they go with this?
Yeah.
But so this is the way I answer that: if something is reconfirmed from the Old Testament in the New Testament, then it's valid,
right?
For today, for Christians
yes.
today. So the Ten Commandments, for example, are validated in the New Testament,
yes,
by Jesus,
right?
And you've heard it said,
yeah.
And he even talks about that's the Sermon on the Mount, that you shouldn't murder people. That's a violation of the Sixth Commandment. However, you shouldn't hate people either,
right?
Because that's akin to murder in your
yeah.
heart. So that's the way you've heard. So that isn't the first time you've heard the old shellfish argument.
Oh no, that's a common one.
I'd love to pull that one out. Bill Maher and those kind of folks.
Oh yeah, and especially if the discussion is about homosexuality, they'll
yes.
say, "Oh, you believe the Leviticus 18, but do you eat shellfish?"
Right. Gotcha.
So, gotcha.
Gotcha. End of discussion. Bill
yeah.
Maher. You know,
yeah.
and the people like that. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Ed. We're in Nashville, Tennessee at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And we want to thank the good folks at Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child for helping underwrite our time here in Nashville. And we'll be promoting Operation Christmas Child again this year, as we always do, as we get closer to the end of the year. And all right, Fred, what's the next news story?
You may remember back a few weeks ago on that very popular program, I'm sure, Tim and Ed, you watch it at night all the time, the playbacks of it, The View on ABC.
Oh, I love it. I never miss it.
Yeah.
I got the podcast.
You got the podcast.
Yeah.
I never want to miss an opportunity to watch a bunch of liberal women.
Yeah.
Yakking about how evil we conservatives are.
You're probably friends with Joy Behar, one of the hosts
on
Facebook.
Christmas card every year.
Oh, absolutely.
Holiday card, Ed.
Holiday card. Yeah.
Anyway, you remember her statements, which have garnered 30,000 calls to ABC. Joy Behar poking fun at Vice President Pence, who is an evangelical Christian, reads his Bible, and says, that he waits for God to answer his prayers. So she mocked Vice President Pence. Well, In the midst of all of this, you may remember that Oprah Winfrey has been encouraged in some circles to run for president.
Yes.
I think somebody has actually told her, not that she needs the money, that he'll give her $1 billion if she wants to run for president. Well, in the last few days, she has been interviewed by People magazine and asked the question, you think you're going to run for president? Listen very closely to Oprah Winfrey's answer. Cut number three.
I pay attention. When you have that many people saying something, I thought, well, gee, I've never in my life ever imagined that I would be in politics. And I've always said, no. Am I supposed to at least look at that question? Because I had enough people, billionaires, calling me up saying, I can get you $1 billion. I can run your campaign. And I actually went into prayer about it. Like, God, if you think I'm supposed to run, you got to tell me. And it has to be so clear that not even I could miss it.
Okay. Joy Behar, as far as I know, has not commented on the fact that Oprah Winfrey is waiting for an answer from God. Remember what she has to be clear. Before she would dive into the presidency.
She's not, Joy Behar is not going to tangle with Oprah. Now, Oprah carries some serious weight in terms of entertainment, mm-hmm. and you're never going to see Joy Behar or whatever say that she's mentally ill, like she did about the vice president.
It's amazing. Oprah Winfrey can say almost anything. Almost anything, and nobody contradicts her, at least in the entertainment.
She's America's sweetheart and has been for a long time in terms of mass appeal. Now, that changes if you enter politics, then you immediately divide half the country.
Right.
And so I doubt very seriously if Oprah Winfrey will run. Why would you do that? I guess she feels like she's praying about it, going to hear from God. I just don't know why. What is she, 60? Is she 60?
I'm not sure.
That's not old today.
Trump's
70, but yeah. So I probably shouldn't even bring that up, except to say that she's had a very good run,
yeah.
And she's the wealthiest woman in America, I would guess. Or
well, and here's the thing, too. You got to have the temperament for it. You've got to be combative enough, egotistical enough. You know, we know that Trump is both of those things. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, conservative, or liberal. You've got to think that you are presidential material. When I say egotistical, you've got to think that. I don't think that about myself. Mm-hmm. If a billionaire came up to me and said, "I'll give you $1 billion," I'm assuming that. That billionaire met in a political action committee or something and said, if you run for president, I'm going to say, no, I'm sorry. I'm not presidential material. And so if she starts getting slammed and doesn't have the temperament for it, she's prone to breaking down and crying or something like that. I'm not saying she may be a very tough lady. I'm just saying you have to have the temperament to get in that fight because it's a dog fight.
Yeah, she's very savvy now.
Yeah.
And very smart. I mean, so very articulate. She has a lot of qualities that would serve her well in a run for the presidency.
And she's likable.
But you start getting into policy positions that divide your audiences, it's a different world out there. But anyway, what your point is that Joy Behar, the View, one of the ladies on The View, and by ladies, I'm being kind. she's made fun of Mike Pence for saying the very same thing Oprah Winfrey said. She said he was a person who talks to Jesus as
hears from him.
Hears from Jesus or hears from God, same thing, is mentally ill.
That's right.
The concern with that is, what if Joy Behar or someone of her liking becomes president and they have the unilateral authority to label people like Mike Pence mentally ill, therefore he can't purchase a firearm?
We really circle back now. It's been on your mind for a while, hasn't it, Walker?
Oh, I've been working on how to tie that in for the last half hour.
Yeah, okay. All right. Who shot JFK, really, Walker?
Right, right.
I want to know the answer to that. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, are you posting these stories we're talking about at our Facebook page?
Yes, yes. Okay. I posted Life Issues website, lifeissues.org website, and I also posted several other news articles that we discussed.
Hey, who do you have coming up this weekend? What are you going to be talking about on your show, Walker? Tell us when it airs and what the topic's going
to
be.
Yeah, this weekend I'm going to talk to President Trump. No, I'm just kidding. I am going to play some clips from President Trump, the meeting that he had with lawmakers yesterday in the White House. I'm gonna give a staunch defense of the Second Amendment, and I'm going to do that through various avenues. But the whole show is going to center around whether more government control and regulations into the Second Amendment will solve America's problems.
Mm. So you're not going to do like a moderate defense or a mediocre defense?
I did that last week.
A staunch defense. Okay.
Yeah,
full-throated.
Last week we were closer to the when the shooting occurred, so I was a little more mellow with my tone. But this week I'm going to get a little bit tougher and give a more staunch defense of the Second Amendment.
What time does that air?
2:30 p.m. Central each Saturday afternoon on AFR.
Okay. And can you do a podcast of that?
I do. Yeah, I do a podcast. It'll be posted also on Saturday, so folks can go and listen to it after the show.
And a podcast of this show, Today's Issues, is also on AFR.
That's right.
AFR.net. 5 minutes, Fred.
5 minutes.
You got any good news?
Oh, absolutely. Good news if you don't live in California. That's the good news.
So we don't have any stations there. And
go ahead and blast it.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. No, this is the headline, folks. California has worst quality of life in U.S., a brand new study out by U.S. News Today's. Yeah, California. And we're talking about the price of housing and the number of homeless out there. I mean, you know, traffic jams, all of this kind of
crime.
Thing. Crime.
Oh, but the weather.
All but the weather, exactly. But they have deemed California to be right at the bottom when it comes to quality of life. But we've been looking at this survey online. Walker's been here and going through the list. I'm going to throw the question to you guys there in Nashville. What is the number one state in the country as far as quality of life and place to live? What do you think?
I'm going to guess Indiana.
Wrong.
We're guessing here. I'm going to guess, it's quality of life. That's a lot of factors right there.
The only reason I said Indiana is I thought I had read that was the top state. So I was going to pretend like,
I don't know.
Iowa, maybe?
You got it.
Iowa.
I see, if this was Trivia Friday, you would get the bell right there.
Now, I got to say, Devin Patrick mouthed Iowa to me.
Devin.
So,
again, as I've said often here.
I know what's coming.
Yeah. I'm not surprised Iowa ranks so highly because they do produce more
bacon
than any other than any other state in the union. And that really trumps almost everything.
Almost everything. And Iowa says to America, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
You know, Iowa ranked number one overall, best state overall, and this U.S. news company rated it in very different – what they used economy, education, healthcare, et cetera, a lot of different factors.
And bacon.
That was its own category. But right. Mississippi surprisingly ranked number six in quality of life. Now, they ranked very low in other areas. But as far as quality of life, Mississippi was number
six.
That's
good.
That's because of our consumption of bacon.
That's right. fried chicken.
As a Mississippian, and we're always
last.
We're always being run down.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Number six. That's pretty awesome.
Number six. That's pretty good. All right.
Yeah.
You know, when people talk about the housing market, I travel around the country and they tell me what they pay for houses, and then I tell them what we pay for houses.
Yeah.
It's like. It's astonishing the value you can get in some parts of the country, like Mississippi, for your real estate in your homes. We'll be back in 5 minutes after the break. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us, folks.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.